Blog Talk Radio.
Oh, that's great. That sounds terrific. Thank you.
From all indicators. Should these alleged victims sue?
And if so, who should they sue? Was Paterno wrong for not making certain that Sandusky stayed away from Penn State after he retired? And he shouldn't have, or should he have made certain that he didn't have access to Penn State's facilities, knowing the allegations that had been made against him? What responsibility does the second mile hold? That's the foundation slash charity that was founded by Sandusky. That was basically the haven that he used to pick his victims. So what responsibility do they hold in all of this? Should Mike McQueary have done more when he witnessed a child being anally molested by Sandusky at Penn State? Also, should the janitor who years later witnessed something, a child allegedly being orally raped by Sandusky, should he have done more? These are just a few of the questions we plan to cover tonight. But before we do, we'd like to remind you that tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.AfricanAmericanNewsAndCommentary.com. Also, a reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or the host. Also tonight, we want the audience to tell us what they think. So we want you, if you're on the phone lines and you have a question or a comment, press 1 tonight. Get involved. Tell us what you think. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390. And again, press 1. A reminder, also the chat room is open tonight. So if you have a question or a comment and you'd like to post it in the chat room, please put it in bold and we'll try to post it to the panel by the end of the hour. At this time, let me introduce my guests. Listen, these are two guys I must admit. When I listen to them, I feel smarter. I mean, they're very intelligent, and I think they're going to bring so much to the conversation tonight. Our first guest, Roy Jones, has been with us before, and he's back. And also, Mr. Nathan Taylor is with us. He has never been on Center Stage, but I've talked to him quite often, and I find him to be a very smart fella. So first of all, I'd like to say good evening, guys. How are you?
Well, good evening. Thank you for having me on.
Hi, Roy. And
hey,
hi, Nathan.
How you doing?
Hello. Thanks for having me.
Listen, y'all been listening, and I've talked to both of you, so you guys have followed this story on Penn State. Let's start with the timeline, and then I want to know what you guys' thoughts are from there. But we were going to first start, like, the timeline. This thing goes all the way back many, many years. This didn't appear to just started, to just have started last night. This has been going on for quite a while. It appears that Sandusky was hired at Penn State in 1967. And it appears in 1977 is when he founded the Second Mile. It appears in 1994, sometime between 1994 and 1997, is when the grand jury report said that he had engaged in inappropriate conduct with three different boys. Now, this is going all the way back between 1994 and 1997 when the grand jury first got involved. And these boys range somewhere between ages 7 and 13. And at that time, Sandusky basically had been inappropriate with these boys. He touched them and had even gone as far as to have sexual encounters with them. In 1998, the Penn State Police and the Pennsylvania Department of Public Welfare investigated an incident in which from 1994 to 1997, that's when the grand jury report that we now know of alleges that things occurred between 1994 and 1997. In 1998, Penn State Police and the Pennsylvania Department of Public Welfare investigated an incident in which the mother of an 11-year-old reported that Sandusky had showered with her son and may have had inappropriate contact with him. Sandusky admitted that he had showered with a boy, said that he was wrong, and he said it wouldn't happen again. the district attorney, of all people, advised the investigators that no charges should be were going to be filed, and the university police chief instructed everyone that the case was to be closed. In 1999, Sandusky retires from Penn State after coaching 32 years. Now, he's 55 years old at this point, and this man is retiring after 32 years. But he stays on as a volunteer and retains full access to the campus and the football facilities. We fast forward to 2000. Sandusky allegedly showers with a young boy, and he tries to touch his genitals during an overnight stay at the coach's house. Also in 2000 is when the janitor at Penn State told a supervisor and another janitor that he saw Sandusky performing oral sex on a young boy. But for whatever reason, no one reported this incident to police. And last but not least, in March of 2002, the graduate assistant Mike McQuarrie saw Sandusky having anal sex with a 10-year-old boy in the locker room, and that's when he told Joe Paterno. Now, McQuarrie says that the victim and Sandusky saw him. So I'm not sure if that was his reason for not making Sandusky stop at that time, but he said both of them saw him at that time. What are y'all thoughts about the timeline, the scandal, the whole thing? What do you all think?
Well, you can go ahead and start off, Larry, and I'll just piggyback right off of you, brother.
Okay, Nathan,
that's good.
What are your thoughts?
Well, I mean, the whole story is just really sick and depressing, really, that they allowed this to go on for so long. I mean, it's clearly that this guy is a molester and a rapist, and he's sick, and he's not going to change. He didn't change. And it seemed like everybody in the administration and the police just turned a blind eye to it. So,
wow. What do you think?
Well, Terry, let me tell you something. What we have here is a social problem. As a matter of fact, I am glad that you had this show today. There are just so many people that just need to be right now at their radio stations listening to what you have to put out. Because, I mean, if we just know one simple statistic, and what we know is this, we know that there are one out of every four people in the United States have been molested.
One out of four?
One out of four.
Wow.
And that is a very, very large number.
Wow.
Because what is not put out there, that the press does not put out there a lot, is that this, that child prostitution, child pornography, sex rings, they're rampant in this country, and they are everywhere. I mean, before the Sandusky, before this issue, let's just go back to around 1988, to where you had Lawrence King in Nebraska with the Boys Ranch. Are you all familiar with that?
I'm not familiar with that.
Well, there was a child sex ring in Nebraska between 1988 and 1991 over in Omaha, Nebraska.
And politicians got caught up in that too, right?
Really?
Oh, yeah.
I've heard about that.
You're talking about hundreds of children were molested. And the thing about it was what was going on is that these high-powered people in these positions were going to these parties. And Lawrence King, not only was he one of the members of the Boys Town USA, he also had a credit union called the Franklin Community, a federal credit union.
Mm-hmm.
And a lot of people put a lot of money into the Boys Town, which is, of course, tax-free, just like Sandusky, Second Miles, tax-free. We'll get into those tax-free organizations later. But you got to understand, he was the front man. Now, we're going to get on Sandusky. We have a lot of time to talk about this information. But
Sandusky obviously is quite a talker, because I understand Sandusky's organization in 2010, the Second Mile, brought in $2.6 million in 2010. That's a lot of money. And
well,
he was the basic fundraiser, I understand. And
right.
They spent $2.8 million. So I'm trying to figure out what are they spending so much money on. I mean, I know there's.
Well, sorry to cut you off, but he had plans to build a learning center with dormitories and everything, and the state gave Sandusky $3 million to build this learning center. That's what he had, you know, in the works. So the governor is involved with that and everything.
So he's getting state funds.
Larry, oh, I'm sorry. Now, Larry, you're right. They gave him the $3 million, but he didn't acquire that $3 million yet. Matter of fact, the governor, they wrote that $3 million into the state budget and last year to give to Sandusky's organization. But because of this, because of these allegations and everything that has come up, they have put a hold on giving them that money.
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah.
But we won't even talk about last year. Last year he gave one of the organizations. One of the people who give a lot to the organization. This organization gave $25 and $28 million to two separate people in between these last 2 years before this investigation.
He just gave it to him.
Yes.
See, I don't know what all that's about. But did Sandusky feel that something was coming down the pipe? Because in 2010, Sandusky said that he was retiring from the Second Mile to spend more time with his family. So did Sandusky know that something was coming down?
Yeah, he knew it was coming down.
Yeah, go ahead. Go ahead, Larry.
Yeah, Nathan. Yeah. He knew it was coming down. He had already been investigated way back in 98, and I'm sure he was hearing about all the allegations that was coming out, and, of course, the prosecutors were building the case against him, so he knew that this was coming around the corner. But something that Roy said about the Boys Town, which is very interesting and very true, that it's kind of playing on the new rumors that's going on with Penn State now. Mark Madden, the journalist that broke the story like 6 months ago, he's saying that the rumor is now that at Penn State there was a child prostitution ring going on there.
Wow.
And that's exactly what was happening at Boys Town a while ago, and like a lot of politicians got caught up in that.
Wow.
It is an epidemic. You know, 1 in 4, I mean, God, look at that. I mean, that's 25% of kids, you know.
Yeah.
So it's an epidemic, and it seems to be like it's a conspiracy. Whereas rich people just have this sick desire to want to rape children, and there are people pimping kids all over the world.
But see, something I found in the research for this show is that in 2010, Second Mile said that in their advertisement that they were reaching more than 200,000 kids across the state. I mean, it just makes my skin crawl.
200,000?
200,000, this is what the advertisement said. So imagine that. He's got access to 200,000 kids, and most were reached through the program that featured, because they had motivational speakers from Penn State, you know, the athletes to come in and I guess help them promote their programs. And what's so sad about it, their program, it says, provided counseling services, foster family support, and early intervention programs. So it seems to me that he knew a troubled child, you know, he could see him from a mile away because that's what he seemed to have targeted. All these kids that had all these issues, and more than likely, whenever he began to spend time with them, their families probably thought this was an angel who was sent in to help them get this child under control, when at the same time all he was doing was preying upon these kids,
right.
You know, and they're the fact that, you know, they were underprivileged and probably from single family home and dysfunctional families.
Mm-hmm.
I mean,
he was also buying them a lot of gifts and buying them off, taking them bowl games, taking them on trips and everything like that too, and also giving them a special treatment, you know, telling them that they can play for Penn State and everything like that. So.
I did hear that he was promising some of the high school boys that they were going to be able to play on the football team.
Right. Mm-hmm.
Even though they didn't go through any type of recruitment or anything, he was just promising them spots.
Yeah. Yeah.
Wow. Okay, y'all. Let's go to the phone lines for a second. Here you go. 402-972. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Good evening.
Good evening. Hello.
How's everybody? Yes.
Oh, everybody's good.
Good. The case that you're talking about out of Nebraska was called the Franklin cover-up, and it dealt with the prostitution ring that they were kicking little black girls from the girls' club in the north side of Omaha, as well as some of the poor little white girls, and prostituting them along with boys to the mayor at that time, which was P.J. Morgan. And it was also connected to the theft of a large sum of money from the Franklin Credit Union. So it was all tied in together, and it was supposed to led all the way back to President Bush at the time.
Yeah, that's true.
Yep.
And if you, the book is called, I think the Franklin cover-up is named the book. Since I'm from Nebraska, I'm very clear on that.
Oh,
whole
yeah.
sick mess that was going on down there.
And,
so.
And it's a lot of good stuff, because just think of how many boys' ranches are in every state in the United States.
Mm-hmm.
Wow.
Boys' ranches and boys' towns and any of these little places like that. I mean, this is an epidemic. I mean, it's going on. And not to cut you off, caller, but, you know, I wanted to get back to the last question that Carrie had. You know, did they know about this prior to these allegations? And I think it's yes, because they just in June of 2011, you know, they just closed the case of the prosecutor that was about to prosecute him back in 1996-98. They just closed that case of him being missing.
They declared him legally dead.
Yes, they declared him dead. And the thing about it, what was so strange about that in 96, his brother, Roy, came up missing in the same way.
Now, whose brother are we talking about? The prosecutor's brother?
We're talking about the prosecutor's brother.
Wow.
It was Ray and Roy Gracier, I believe.
Ricard. Yeah, G-R-I.
His brother named Roy. Mm-hmm. His brother came up missing in 1996.
Wow.
And of course, we know in 2005, he came up missing. Now, he wanted to bring his case to the jury, but he didn't have enough credible evidence to pursue with the case.
Mm-hmm.
And so he did not pursue the case. But in 2005, he came up missing.
And a lot of times when a prosecutor goes no bill, it's because the witness are flaky. They don't want to, you know, testify, and you know, they have documents that Sandusky's wife had made calls to the witnesses like right before they had the grand jury. So it could have been some intimidation there to the witnesses, or maybe something else that was going on. But
no, not Miss Dottie Sandusky.
Say what?
Isn't Sandusky's wife named Dottie Sandusky?
Oh, I'm not sure what her name is, but yeah, his wife, though, made calls to the witnesses before the grand jury trials.
So she knows about, or she may be involved in this cover-up.
I believe so.
Wow.
I mean, just think about it. If all of a sudden McCrary walks in on Sandusky and he is having his way with a young child,
mm-hmm.
and he's an employee.
Mm-hmm.
He goes up the chain. He goes to the president,
mm-hmm.
and tells the president what's going on. Mm-hmm. And then from there, you know, you expect the law to get involved. You expect some type of investigation. But let me tell you, when something just doesn't happen, let me tell you, everybody knows what's going on. Don't even think Joe Paterno didn't know what's going on, because that's when they moved him to the assistant coach position.
I talked to Nathan about this earlier. Could this be like, I mean, and I'm just putting it out there, Nathan said he wasn't going to, but I'm going to. Could it be like mob stuff involved in this? Because, you know, we found out that this football program, this dynasty, brings in $50 million a year. And we know that the mob believes in gambling on football games. And so I'm wondering, you know, everybody was hush-hush and quiet about this, and everybody act like they were afraid to speak. Could this be bigger than what we've realized? I mean, could it be that some people were scaring some people and intimidating some people and knocking some people off to keep this thing quiet?
Carrie, I did some research on it, and the only thing that I was able to find was a rumor that's going on the internet. That so it's just a rumor, but that the mob, the Russian mafia, knew about this and they blackmailed the people at the university. And the rumor is that's why the story didn't come out until now, because they've been holding this over Penn State for years.
Wow.
So that's the only thing I've heard.
But see, if you're holding that over Penn State's head, that means that you can throw football games and everything else.
Well, that's what they were having them do.
Wow. See, that's scary.
Well, I mean, yeah, to answer the question as far as it's powerful, yeah. I mean, if you got very powerful, I mean, if it leads all the way to the mayor, the governor, or it led all the way up into some U.S. senator in Washington, oh, yeah, they'll do everything they have to do to cover it up. If they have to take you out, they'll do it.
Well, and you know what?
Keep it going.
But $50 million a year off of one football program, I mean, a lot of people were eating off of that program.
Well, Terry, they eat more off of $50 million. You're talking about, I mean, you're talking about universities and colleges throughout the country is big business anyway. You're talking about, you know, this is non-taxable. You're talking about big business here. We're not talking about they're reporting what they can report what they want. This is education. Let me, I used to own a company where I was doing educational-based athletic programs, and it was non-taxable. I mean, I did not abuse their privilege. I gave my extra money away to my children. But let me tell you something. There is a lot of room for abuse. And like I said, this is a whole, when you get into, you know, these type of organizations, the money that they're bringing in, I mean, you got a whole other show on your hands right now.
And also, like, the culture at Penn State, I mean, they worship football. That was their religion. You know what I'm saying? Their whole town was around football. So I'm sure there's a lot of people that didn't want to see their holy football be tarnished by this story. You know what I'm saying? Similar to what goes on in the Catholic Church, you know what I'm saying? It's like you don't want the church to look bad, so you keep quiet.
Okay,
oh, yeah.
Then let's start with Paterno. You're working underneath me, and I find out that you're allegedly molesting little boys. What responsibility did Paterno have when he first found out? What was he supposed to do? I mean, just from a human standpoint.
I mean, you're supposed to fire the guy and go to the police and report him.
Why didn't he do it? That's the million-dollar question. Why didn't Paterno do more?
Because he's a part of it.
Wow.
That's the speculation.
Because if you know about it and you don't report it, and I don't care if what kind of privacy, any type of things you'll find as far as, you know, privacy at work or any type of statements or anything, you know that someone else is getting hurt, especially children who are unable to fend for themselves, who need guidance in their life, you know, kids that don't have a mother and father for some odd reason, and they need help in life, and someone is using them for sexual favors, pawning them off to high profile people, maybe having them at parties, serving them drugs and other things like that, so they can, you know, they can have their way with these children. This is a horrible thing.
Okay, then let's talk about this. When you walk into a locker room, let's just say you're McQuarrie. When you walk into a locker room and you witness Sandusky with a kid up against the wall and he's anally, you know, raping him, because that's not sex, that's rape. Why didn't he say stop it? Why did he walk out of, I mean, leave the area, even though he says that they saw him, both the kid and Sandusky? The kid probably froze, I'm sure, not sure what to do, so you can't blame him. But still, why didn't McQuarrie jump in and physically stop this?
Because that's not the first time that he's heard about stuff like that going on at that campus, because a grown person just doesn't just take someone in a locker room and does something like that unless it has been done before.
Wow.
Yeah, it was like it's an open secret there.
Wow.
That's right.
I'm confused. I thought that he didn't have the power to fire this general. He had to go through the upper channels in order to have them fire him.
Paterno, in my opinion,
he had the power to fire him.
Yeah, Paterno could.
Okay.
Okay. Yeah. Yeah. They said Paterno
could
to
get the president
stadium.
Fired if you really wanted to. That's how much pull he has.
Yeah. Mm. He had that kind of pull. Paterno was not the one to witness it. It was that redhead coach that's now coaching from
McQuarrie
Fitnesses.
Right, and that should have been,
well,
he should have reported it to his chain of command, so he'd have reported it to Paterno. Paterno would have reported it to the president. They would have started an investigation, and upon that investigation, find out whether or not they need to get police involvement. And they should have, I mean, this should have been a step-by-step process to get the truth. And then after the truth was found, whether this man was guilty or innocent of the actual offense, then they would have went from there. But we've got to this point where, yeah, FBI involvement.
A child vulnerable like that? I mean, what human being, man or woman, leaves a child in a situation like that when they eyewitnessed it? Not heard it, but eyewitnessed it. How do you do that?
Well, if you don't care, it's easy. Yeah. If you don't care, if you know, if it's bringing in money and it's putting a paycheck on your table, it's feeding your family, and you really don't care, then it's no big deal. And plus, what if you didn't give a damn about the fact that there were little black boys or little boys of color,
yeah,
or maybe poor? So
I mean,
I don't care. I mean, that's them. You know,
that's
how it would be seen.
Yeah, and that's what the janitors said. Like, when the janitors saw this, they're like, oh, we're going to get fired and stuff. So people are more worried about their job and their careers than these kids. I mean,
right,
you see that all over this scandal.
But that
right,
tells you the weight that this program had versus these little underprivileged kids. It's almost as though each time something came up, they weighed it against these underprivileged kids versus this dynasty. And so they decided that the scandal was was something that they couldn't deal with and were not willing to deal with, and I guess lose jobs and everything else. And maybe I don't know, just from one human being to another human being, if that had been something that I witnessed, I cannot see actually leaving the area and leaving the child in the same state that I found them. I just can't see that.
Oh,
and
yeah,
I
wouldn't have left there until the police showed up, or that, you
yeah,
know what I'm saying, that kid would have been coming with me or something. There's
yeah,
no way.
Yeah.
I just walk away from that.
And another thing we got to understand, too, is that this is a prime example of our society being desensitized.
I agree with that. Now, back to Dottie Sandusky. A lot of these kids alleged have been raped at the house, at Sandusky's house, where he had a room downstairs in the basement that he turned into a bedroom. And so he was, at some point during the night, I'm assuming, you know, coming downstairs and getting in the bed with these kids and cracking their back and molesting them or whatever. What was Dottie Sandusky doing? I mean, they also
enabling,
have children.
Because you got to understand is that maybe she was looking at those, she was maybe looking at her bank account and really not worried about what her husband was doing. This man's
wow,
been
yeah,
getting away with this for years. I mean, this organization's been open since 1977. I mean, who knows how many hundreds of kids he's touched? Who knows how many people he has introduced these children to that have done these type of things to these children? Who knows how many people at the upper levels of this conspiracy that have these underground basements, which are getting made every day? Trust me, if you call up the people who put these underground bunkers in at these people's houses, they're booked for years. Who knows what people are doing in these underground bunkers? I'm telling you, they set them in their backyard. It happens all the time. They always go. They only catch the small guy. They catch that guy like around 4 or 5 years ago, a guy up in the south of North Carolina, where he had a dungeon built underneath his double-wide trailer where he was keeping two girls. These things, these places are everywhere. They operate in the ring. They trade. They trade these pornographic materials between themselves. And at the upper branches, trust me, we can go right there to Washington D.C. where they used to have male prostitution rings blocks from the warehouse. And matter of fact, they've had male prostitution rings that were right in the senator's or the congressman's apartment in their apartment.
Okay.
Yeah.
The thing is though, when you look at the situation with the Second Mile, that was the haven that they said all the kids he met through the Second Mile program, through that foundation. I think the CEO stepped down this week. I'm looking for my notes on it. He stepped down this week, and he said something. His name was Jack Brankovich or something like that. And he stepped down this week, and he advised all the victims to go ahead and step forward. Well, that's almost saying that it happened.
Right.
I mean, really, when you say all you victims go ahead and step forward now and tell your stories, this guy had been with the organization 28 years. He and his wife both worked there. He made $132,000 a year, mm-hmm. and his wife made $100,580 a year. So is that maybe why he didn't say anything?
Sarah, let me tell you, we already know that they're shutting down, right?
Yeah. Oh, is there a confirmation they shut it down?
They are shutting down this week, yes. And let me tell you something. Just think about, and there's a rumor on the rumor mill that time this thing went down, or since they've been doing damage control since June, that's my theory, is that they've been burning and scorching all paperwork. Trust me, when the FBI, when they get their warrant to go in there and pull the paperwork and pull a lot of files of where this money, or where the money was being deposited, who was getting money, where the money was going, I'm telling you, none of that information is going to go there. And let me tell you, every time the FBI gets involved in something, tell me if I'm wrong, every time the FBI gets involved, the bad person always gets off or gets something very mediocre as far as punishment, and they're going to find a scapegoat, and this scapegoat is going to be the problem. You quote me on it.
You think so? Now, you know what?
The scapegoat's
going to
be
several years' files came up missing. You know,
a lot of travel files, you know, so they can't keep track of where they were moving these kids around to.
And is that what that was? And I guess I was thinking it was because of the money. But you're right. I think something came out today that he had taken a lot of these kids across state lines. And if that's the case, then that could be life in prison.
Oh, yeah. And wait a minute. That's not talk about that when he got taken to jail, he went to jail, his house was broken into. And
really?
This Thursday, his house was broken into for the second time. And they're talking about that it was no forced entry on the second one. Now, let me, or maybe it was the first one.
Uh-huh.
But anyway, is that and the police refused to put a 24-hour police officer at that place because, let me tell you something, that's a crime scene.
Mm-hmm. So you're talking about Sandusky's house or the second
one? I'm telling you, Sandusky's house, the crime scene. Because he probably has records somewhere in his house of where he was. I'm sure he was taking records of like maybe taking trips on the money that was given to him from Second Mile. I'm sure there was maybe pictures of him with children. Not necessarily saying that they were new pictures or anything like that, but maybe those can be identifiable witnesses to what was going on. And different things of this sort, trust me, something was taken out of that man's house on two occasions, and the police chief refused to put a 24-hour surveillance over that man's house.
See, you know, this is the biggest cover-up I've ever seen, though, really. I mean, I've never seen so many different agencies and people. We're talking about state police and university police, and we're talking about all these department heads, but nobody really seems to have seen anything but two people over a span of these many years. I don't believe that.
I mean, that's what makes me think that it was more than just Sandusky out there raping kids. You know, like, why would all this police and administrators put their neck out there to protect this one guy. You know, it doesn't make sense.
I mean, I don't believe that this guy founded this thing in 1977, and this thing just basically came to a head in 2011, and he's only got like 40 counts, and eight little boys have come forward. I mean, it's got to be bigger than that.
If
he said that he had access to 200,000 kids, trust me, it's more than eight victims out there.
Yeah, most just won't talk. Yeah.
Well, just think about it. When Lawrence King in Nebraska, when he had his hands on over hundreds of children, giving hundreds of children cocaine, synthetic drugs, hundreds of these children, they used him as a scapegoat. He only got 15 years in jail.
Wow.
It's for IRS tax fraud. It wasn't even for what he did. And that's an FBI investigation. Many witnesses came forward. Many witnesses told how they were sodomized by him and other big people, big politicians. And the only thing they could get him for was the IRS and gave him only 15 years in jail. And this man made multi-millions of dollars, was on national TV. And let me tell you something. If it goes down where Sandusky is indicted and is given a sentence, the sentence will not be, it will not be on par with the crimes that he has committed against children, against humanity, against a decent civilization and society that we live in.
Wow. You know, something I saw online this week that really disturbed me, you know, most companies have mission statements. And the mission statement at the second mile says its mission is to help children who need additional support and would benefit from positive human interaction. Is that scary? I mean, you know,
yeah, and what's really scary is that Sandusky had a book titled Touched.
Yeah. Yeah, you're right.
I mean, he's just telling them himself. Like, a lot of these guys, they want to be caught. You know, they can't help themselves. They want to be caught, and they show their hand. You know what I'm saying? So, he's raping kids right in a gym locker room. So, I mean, he's just flamboyant with it.
Oh, yeah, in a public place. But, you know, like I said, this show is so mind-opening. Because what we got to understand is that there are organizations that are secret organizations here in this country that actually have children for sale. They actually have they're actually trading, buying children on the black market to put them in these sex houses as sex slaves. People. There are 2,000 kids that come up missing each year in America.
Well, somebody just posted in the chat room one of Sandusky's adopted children, Matt Long Sandusky, now 33, is not named as one of the 10 victims, but his biological mother thinks Matt was abused by Sandusky because of his behavior towards Sandusky. When he came around, Matt would hide behind a door and tell his mother to tell Sandusky he wasn't home.
It's a lot of children being abused in foster care. You know, they get taken away from their real mother and father for whatever reason, maybe a drug charge or something like that, and you got these predators just sitting there waiting in foster care.
Mm.
Oh, yeah. Now, let me tell you, I used to, it happened so much, and I remember the first time that it came to me the first time. I remember when I used to be a school teacher, and I used to work at a place where it had a lot of it was more like an alternative school.
Mm-hmm.
But all of a sudden, the children came to me and they said, "You know, we don't like our vice president. Our vice principal." And I was like, "What's going on?" He's like, "Well, he's messing with the little girl."
Oh, wow.
And I'd never had proof. I always used to watch, but when I go past the man's office, he had an Xbox in the office. He had the little children playing on the Xbox. He used to take the children home sometimes.
Wow.
And then I heard the children talking sometimes that he better not get me in trouble or I'm going to tell what he did.
But it's situations like that, like you and everybody else don't investigate any further, but there's always these signs, but nobody goes and investigates until there's, like, all these kids that have been victimized. You know what I mean? I'm not blaming you.
It's ridiculous. I mean, in my case, I let people know, and I say, well, you know, you can only take it so far, because if I don't see anything or have any valid proof of anything, I mean, you just can't throw that type of allegation out about somebody.
I agree.
But when McCrary, when he actually saw what was going on, there is no way. I just could not. A person that says something and it does not get taken care of in the proper fashion, that means the police involvement, then he should have quit his job, and then he should have went directly to the police department.
I agree. Yeah,
but also, though, but if you look at the report, one of the victims' mother, when Sandusky was raping one of the kids and he started coaching at their high school, you guys are familiar with that?
Yeah.
And, his mother reported to that high school, the high school reported to the police like they're supposed to do, and they banned Sandusky from the high school's campus.
Yes.
So it's like the police knew about it, you know what I'm saying? Administrators knew about it, and just this is just a cover-up and a conspiracy and corruption at the highest level of Penn State.
I completely agree. Y'all, let's go to the phone lines. Let's pick up area code 843-276. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
It's Chief Meaty. How are you doing today, Center Stage, and everybody else out there?
Fine.
Good.
I'm all right. I had a birthday like a week ago. You know, I'm getting old. But, you know, the thing is, a couple of things on this stuff, you know. One, let's be honest, the man's a piece of crap. He's going to burn in hell. But there's some underlying issues here. First, the NCAA is about to investigate Penn State for a lack of institutional control. And any of my sports fans know lack of institutional control means you're going to get the hammer. But the thing is, one thing that I hear people talk about, I'm talking about in our community right now, we always talk about mentoring. But these people are not idiots, these predators. They're usually your clean-cut people, well-spoken, very intelligent, and they create these programs to prey on these kids. But the thing is, look at how many of these kids get dumped off on these programs and the parents are not helping participate in these programs. We need more parental involvement in this stuff as well so we can keep these people honest. But the thing with McQuarrie, he saw that boy get raped. And he got to do something. If you scared the man has a 12-gauge shotgun over there, you at least call the police.
Yeah.
At worst.
Yeah.
You got to at least call the police on that. And I ain't going to lie, I don't care if the kids are black, white, blue, violet, or magenta. Those are kids. And the thing is, look at how powerful the football coach was, Joe Paterno. They tried to get him to leave 10 years ago. He said no. When this stuff came out, he said, oh, I'll retire end of the year. Mind you, 85-year-old man should be coaching big-time college football anyway. So look at he's trying to protect his friend instead of doing the right thing. I forgot to say this. He retired conveniently at age 55. Not too many football coaches retire at age 55 unless they have health problems.
Mm.
But he quit. And so the thing is, and that's when that stuff came out, they pretty much said, oh, well, you know, we don't want to mess up our brand. But you can do those kids over there. But the problem is, okay, Jerry Sandusky cuts boys. What are you going to do about it to rectify that problem, saying, hey, we apologize to the families, but we got him out of here and we're going to press charges on him? That would have looked better. Joe Paterno's name would have been straight. The university would still look good because they took action on it. But they did not take action. They try to cover it up, and we all know the cover-up is worse than a crime.
But did they also wait for Paterno to win that title for being the winning coach?
Yep, Eddie Robinson, yep. It came out.
409 wins, you know, and was that part of it? Is that why this thing lingered longer than it should have?
And you know what? The prosecution, this man had been getting investigated for years, and they pretty much dismissed it at first. And, like, I know the attorney, his attorney is trying to discredit his defense. They already said the game plan is they're going to try to discredit Mike McQuarrie. The reason they ain't fired Mike McQuarrie on the spot, because he's the key witness. So they want to make sure he at least speaks.
I don't think so, because Mike McQuarrie don't tell everybody what happened. Mike McQuarrie won't find another job in football. Mike McQuarrie's not that stupid.
He's done. Oh, he's done.
Mike McQuarrie is under protection.
Yeah.
Is he?
It's right in his life. Yeah.
Okay. Well, that's what he says. I just think they wanted to throw the football game last Saturday because they knew if they won, that just made it worse.
Oh, they weren't that good at to beat Nebraska.
Really?
Hey, they played us at Alabama. We was like, yeah, these guys are terrible. But, you know, the thing is, the attorney, Sandusky's attorney say going to try to discredit McQuarrie and try to discredit the kids. See, what happens on the case, they're going to try to attack their character. So whoever that prosecution is, the prosecutor needs to have his game face on this case, because honestly, if he loses it, he loses the case. His job is, he's done.
Well, let's go here. How are we going to lose the case when Sandusky got on, what's his name, Costa's show the other night and made a fool of himself and basically said, I did it. I mean, when you say you're in the shower with boys, what are you doing in the shower with the young boys? What are you doing
exactly.
there?
Exactly.
Casey Anthony got off. All I got to say is empirical proof showed Casey Anthony killed her kid. She still got off. So, you know, it just.
There were no eyewitnesses to Casey Anthony.
Yeah. And this guy here, McQuarrie, even said, oh, now I call the police. And the police are like, no, you didn't call us. So this guy is probably discrediting himself. And so this thing's a mess. And I just and the sad part of these kids whose lives are ruined behind this mess.
McQuarrie lied in that email because McQuarrie's feeling pressure from his friends, like, what kind of jerk are you to allow a child to be raped and you don't do anything? So I think he felt peer pressure to try to come off as a good guy. You know, he said he stopped it, but he didn't physically stop it. Well, what the hell does that mean?
McQuarrie, check this out. It might not be his friends putting pressure on him. It might be the university putting pressure on him to be the scapegoat.
I mean,
because
the university putting pressure on him to do what?
To be the scapegoat. Because, you know, for them to discredit him and discredit the children, and then everybody's off. And another thing is, too, the attorney, the counsel, the attorney for Penn State says he's never heard of it when the president was informed. And we all know that's a lie.
But why did it take Sandusky 16 seconds to say he doesn't molest children? I mean, who does that? I mean, most of us, if someone says, are you a child molester, it's an immediate response, no, I'm not. So why is it that it took him that many seconds to say that?
Because he's been doing it so long, it's so prolific in his life. It's a part of his being and a part of who he is, and it was very hard for him to lie of what he is not.
Well, let me ask you this then. Was his attorney throwing him under the bus when he told him to talk on that show? Because Bob Costas said he had an interview with Sandusky's attorney, and only 10 minutes before the show was he told by the attorney, hey, would you rather have an interview with Jerry Sandusky? Well, from somebody who sits in this chair kind of, you know, often, I would love to have an interview with Jerry Sandusky so I know what the answer to that question was. And he said, absolutely. So, you know, go figure. Why would the attorney have an interview planned and then 10 minutes before the show put his client out there and say, talk to Bob Costas? That's crazy.
Well, because you put this man on national TV, let him make a fool of himself, incriminate himself, more and more people are going to see it, the more press coverage it's going to get, and then that's going to help him out when it comes time for jury, for you to pick jury members. Because you got to pick somebody that does not know what the case is about and doesn't have any predisposition about what they think or feel about the particular case.
I don't think he's ever going to trial. I really think people like Sandusky will never go through the whole process of being humiliated and in prison. I think somebody like him will take the coward's way out and will probably kill himself. I really don't ever see this going to trial.
Well, Carrie, he's going to walk from this, maybe get some probation, or he's going to come up with this so-called suicide thing, because you know that's pretty prevalent when we talk about high-level people being involved in high-level scandals.
Somebody might take him out and make it look like money like he, you know, says he's going to his vacation house and he mysteriously kills himself and nobody ever finds out whether or not there was a body or not of the whole thing. I don't think he has that kind of money. I think there's got to be a fall guy in this whole scandal in order for this thing to just calm down even just a little bit. I think Sandusky's definitely going to have to be going to trial, or he's going to have to come up dead, one or the other. But I don't think there's a snowball chance in hell that he's just going to walk. No, I don't think so.
Well, you know, we've seen strangers. We've seen stranger things happen. And I hope after this whole thing is over, you have another show on it. And I hope we have a real good outcome. I hope the outcome is that this man gets life in jail.
Now, we know he's connected because we know, what was it that you said, Nathan, about the bond that was initially out there?
Oh, yeah, well, the judge that was over this whole thing was a volunteer and worked with Second Mile. And she reduced his bail from $500,000 to $100,000 unsecured. And she also refused to put any type of tracking device on him.
That's right.
Wow. I remember
but
that.
She's been taken off the case, though. She's been taken off now because it was such a, you know, uproar about it.
And another thing is, too, the governor of the state, the governor of the state has also, he was a former prosecutor before he became governor. And what he did was instead of prosecuting or going through with whatever evidence they had at that time, he put a two-year investigation on this particular case, and the prosecutor now just found out about it this week, actually, and she was very appalled about all the evidence that they had and that they didn't prosecute then and wait until now. That's why I know there was some they knew prior to his indictment that something was going on.
Okay, let's talk about all this money of these people retiring. First of all, how does someone like Sandusky get a chance to retire? I mean, how do you get out of a situation like that? And then somebody says, I tell you what, we're gonna let you retire and give you a lump sum of like $140,000+, I think is what I saw in the chat room. I think that was the number I saw. They gave him a lump sum of $148,271, and then he receives a yearly income, I think, of $58,898. Where does that happen at?
Hey,
I mean, really, where does that happen?
Am I back on?
Oh, yeah.
Yeah, we can hear you. Oh, that's me. Okay, cool. Come on, phone job. I apologize. Two things that hit me on this. One, that's how, like, the military does it for their officers or higher-ranked officers. We have officers that be cheating on their wives and stuff, generals. What they do is say, hey, you go ahead and retire, take a reduced rank. But this just shows this is some deep stuff here. There's a lot more going on. And I think that a lot more people involved, because if it wasn't more people involved like this, he wouldn't have gotten this. People do that to shut you up, keep you quiet.
Yeah, hush money.
I think that's what's going on.
Really? Okay, because if it had come out, then it would have made things worse. So that's a drop in the bucket compared to $50 million at state a year. I mean, that's Penn State is bringing in.
Well, if that's the case...
Why did you fire Paterno? Paterno was the head coach. Graham Spennard was the president. And Mike, Gary Schultz was the VP for business and finance. These guys had to step down. Tim Curley was the athletic director. He had to step down. So how is it that Sandusky walks and everybody else kind of, you know, I don't know. I don't know if these guys, even though they're fired, are they going to lose their pensions or will they keep their pensions?
Well, you know, Carrie, it matters on how everything goes, but, I mean, as history shows us, they'll probably keep their pension.
You think Paterno will keep his pension even though he was fired?
Well, you know, just like we stated earlier, that they're in there getting rid of paperwork as we speak. There has not been a warrant served on Second Mile yet. Those people are clearing house right now. Trust me, you won't find nothing up there. And if there is something, it'll be left there by mistake. And when, like I said, whenever you get the FBI, when you get the FBI involvement in anything, trust me, it's gonna be scandalous. They're always on the bad guy side every time, and this is historically proven.
Wow. Now another thing I found, y'all, that was strange in the grand jury's report, I was like, wow, this Second Mile program started out as a foster home. I mean, really.
Yeah.
And then I guess he was taking in so many kids that that's when it became, he decided to turn it into what he turned it into. How sick is that? I mean, so the foster care system was just turning over all these kids to a pedophile. So is there a loss there?
Well, the foster care system, period, the foster, it needs to be revamped anyway. And you're talking about child protective services take children for just anything now. And I'll tell you, the most wanted kid out there right now, and this is proven, If you can talk to anybody in Child Protective Services, they tell you that they're looking for that blonde hair, blue eye. And you get that blonde hair, blue eye, that's on the stock market. Trust me. They're after those kids. If those parents touch their kid in the store, those people are there in a minute picking that kid up. Trust me, this is larger than just this Penn State. Trust me. And if you knew any more, you wouldn't be around either.
Because we heard about Syracuse this week. If you do tune in, you come center stage tonight. We're talking about why Penn State owes Sandusky's victims. We're talking to Nathan Taylor and Roy Jones. Tonight's segment of Center Stage is being brought to you by African American News and Commentary Blog, your single source for news, events, and commentary that is of unique interest to African Americans. They're located on the web at www.africanamericannewsandcommentary.com. If you're on the phone lines and have a question or a comment, press 1. Or if you're listening in via the Internet, dial us up at 347-850-8390 and, again, press 1. A reminder, the chat room is open tonight, so if you have a question or a comment, you can post it up in chat. And there is a lot of chat going on in the chat room, y'all. Listen, I can't even keep up with all y'all's comments, especially Nanny. So if y'all want to call in and weigh in, Thelma, now, Nanny, if y'all want to call in and weigh in on the topic, please feel free to do so. There are a lot of topics going on things being posted in the chat room. They said Joe Paterno's son had a press conference today and said that Joe Pa has a curable form of lung cancer. No comment. Let's see. What else do I see? Let's see. This Edward Gay Robinson, February 13th, 19, was the American football coach for 57 years, from 1941 to 1997, and he was the head coach for Grambling State, a historically black university. Okay, at the time of his retirement in 1997, he was the winningest coach in football. Gotcha. So he passed that record. That guy went out with 408 wins, and they let Joe Pa get 409 before this whole scandal broke. But some of the things that I saw that Sandusky was giving these kids, and Nathan said a little about it earlier. Again, folks, if people are giving your kids expensive gifts, you might want to check out why. I mean, I'm hearing or seeing things like computers, gym clothes, dress clothes, cash. He takes them to restaurants, swimming at hotels, passes to events. Golf clubs, snowboards, Nike shoes, ice hockey equipment, and lessons. Yo, what are they doing? What are parents doing?
They don't care. That's the problem. They don't care. I know growing up, my mom and dad knew every certain pair of shoes I had. They don't care. See, what happens is they're looking for a father figure instead of a father. And they go dump these kids off on just anybody who'll buy them a Kit Kat and a Coke. So that and plus, you look at these parents talking about my me time. I need to get away for a second, you know, stuff like that. And look what happened to these kids. And a lot of these kids, think about this. You got people touching these boys. You got raping these boys, and he don't say nothing. So what type of parent are they out there that the kids can't come to you, something's wrong? There's a lot of deeper issues here.
But when you say underprivileged kids, when you say dysfunctional families, to me that says parents could be on drugs, you know, parents could be in prison. There could be a lot going on, you know, when you say underprivileged and dysfunctional families. So you wonder, you know, there's no telling how bad off these kids were. You know, could have just actually been preying on those that he knew nobody else cared about or nobody was going to be checking in on a regular basis to see how their day went or what they did and what Jerry said to them, that type of thing. You know what I mean?
That's exactly what he's doing. If you don't have a strong relationship with your children, they're vulnerable. They're vulnerable to these predators. And these predators, and also any institution, any church, any school, any institution dealing with children are vulnerable about getting infiltrated by a predator like this. That's what they look for. They look for these different organizations to get involved in so they can get an opportunity to molest these children. And that's where you have to have a relationship with your child, and a child has to feel that they could come to you about anything, and you wouldn't have these situations going on like this.
But, you know, the thing is, I mean, on some level, people have got to wake up and realize no one should want to spend more time with your child than you. And if an adult, you know, has too many hours in a day to spend time with your child, there may be a problem. I mean, and you cannot substitute the fact that he doesn't have a father, or he, you know, and just say that someone else is just going to step up and want to spend that much time with your child. It can happen, but it is always your job to look out and make certain that it is an innocent relationship and there's not anything going on. What is wrong with parents and they're not doing this? I mean, I'm lost for...
Well, Carol,
I'm sorry, who was speaking?
We've got so many people out here that are having to work more because things are costing more nowadays. So, I mean, our society is evolving into a society where we have more people working, therefore they spend less time at home. We just remember yesterday when they used to call that type of child the latchkey kid.
Mm-hmm.
Okay, but now we've got these children are out here now. They're actually learning from TV. Their entire perception and reality is created what's on TV and on the radio. They have no concept of human behavior. Just think about it. A lot of people, I mean, just think about it. The dumbing down of society is happening. And in this particular case with this Penn State, I mean, we can just see this thing is evolving. This problem of molestation and the child pornography, these things are just all-encompassing our society. And what the fear is of mine, that this is going to become, in years to come, a social norm, just like the DAP, the Don't Ask, No Tell.
Mm. You know what? I'm sitting here and thinking about who all is to blame in this and who all could possibly be sued. Tell me if y'all can follow and agree with me on this. This is where I see, first of all, Paterno. Okay, and I know some people say, well, it's not Paterno's fault, but Paterno was the supervisor.
And so at
some point, Paterno, when he first found out about it, should have made certain that this guy was never allowed back on the premises of Penn State. So I say Paterno has some responsibility. The second mile, because this was the haven that Sandusky used to prey on these kids or to meet these kids. I say Penn State because on more than one occasion this was witnessed by people and nothing happened. And then also I say the school where victim number one went to, they would allow Sandusky to come and take that child out of school from time to time. That's a no-no.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, period.
I will also say the local police department.
Ooh, wow.
Because they were notified by the school. That's in the report. So.
Wow.
The problem is a couple of things. Like the lady was talking before you sent her face, she made some good points. And the thing is, I use a TV example. You remember like on the Cosby Show, you know, Claire had a demanding job as attorney and Cliff had a demanding job as the OBYGN. But
mm-hmm.
the one thing people didn't know, his practice was in the basement of his house.
Mm-hmm.
He was at home. And so people got they may have to sacrifice something to be at home, because the problem is there's always a saying of wolf in sheep clothing, because people will look at a crap sandwich if it has a shiny wrapper on it. You know, it's still a crap sandwich. Now, this man has a piece of crap, like Eddie Long, like all these other predators. But what they do, they hide behind the cloth, the cross, or him hide behind Penn State, have a football coach, blah, blah, blah. But these guys should be sued, because Paterno, see, the thing is, he's the captain of the ship.
Yeah,
it's on him. He knew about it. You got to make sure if they want to do anything, you say, I quit, man.
Yeah.
And also, this last thing is, you know, nobody, it's showing they don't care about the kids. And this is a real small town. This is what happens when you let people get too powerful in these small towns, these rural, middle-of-nowhere towns. It's kind of like those movies where kind of like with Texas Chainsaw Massacre, where they protect the Leatherface in that real small town. Everybody knew about him. And that's what happened. They knew about this guy. But everybody wanted to protect him because they wanted to keep the reputation of the town. But the reputation would have been okay if he did the right thing.
because no one will get mad at you for doing the right thing and turning him in. People are mad that you knew about it and let your kids suffer. That's what people are mad about.
And I think the fact that McQuarrie still has a job is a no-no.
Yep.
I mean, seriously, why is he still there? Because, you know, even though he's saying, I made sure nothing happened again, well, it did happen again. So exactly what did you do? I mean, because you didn't physically stop it, and you didn't exactly call the police. So what exactly did you do to prevent a child from being molested again?
Well, one thing I heard that McQuarrie did is he ran to his dad and told his dad about it, and they told, you know, the other administrators, and he kind of used it as leverage to get better, you know, move up the ladder in at Penn State in the coaching ladder. That's what I heard.
Okay,
so he used it for his own benefit rather than trying to help these kids, basically.
And he was 28 at the time, too, when he saw that happening. He wasn't a 15-year-old or 19-year-old kid out there. Young
no, man. He was a grown man.
He was a 28-year-old grown man. So that's right there. So he has, there was no excuse.
So he's saying, I'm a team player, y'all. I can keep a secret.
Exactly. I'm a team player. I keep a secret, but you better promote me. And that's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Wow. Let's go back to the phone line, y'all. Let's go to area code 469-693. Good evening. You're on Center Stage.
Hey, well, how are you guys doing?
Fine. How are you?
All right.
Listen, first of all, I almost don't have a comment now because the gentleman that was just speaking said exactly what I was going to say. One, he was 28 years old when this thing happened. Two, do I believe that he's going to keep a job? Absolutely not, because one, he's labeled as a rat. That's one. Two, because he told. And two, what parent would want their child in his presence? Based upon the fact that we already know that he will not do the right thing. So, okay, so he's lost the job. You can bet that. He's lost the job. And here's my other theory. My theory is, and someone said this earlier, or kind of alluded to it, but the fact that the university knew all the time, I believe they did as well, because in that initial meeting when he said, you know, hey, I saw this and I want to report it. He went to Paterno. Paterno then went to, I believe, Curry at that point. And then Curry turns around and says, okay, we need to have a meeting. Who does he bring to the meeting? He brings Schultz to the meeting, a finance guy, a university finance guy who's conveniently in charge of the campus police. But you bring the finance guy. Come on, why not bring the police? That tells you, one, this has happened before, and they're used to payoff. And someone said a few minutes ago that McQuarrie was probably trying to position himself a little better, being a grad assistant in the future. That's exactly what happened in that meeting. In that meeting, basically was, you keep your mouth shut, and we will take care of you. And that's what he did. That's another reason why he should buy. And that's another reason why everyone involved, from the president, the dean of students, everyone should go. I hate to say it, everyone should go, because at the end of the day, they have tarnished the Penn State name, period. Because what parent would want to send their child to that school at this point?
So what should happen to the Penn State football program?
Done. Death penalty, done.
Ooh.
Well, let me tell you something. If this situation happened at one of our historically black college universities, trust me, the football team would have probably lost everything.
I think after everything comes out, the NCAA is going to come down on Penn State pretty hard. They're going to lose scholarships.
Yeah.
They may not even be able to compete for a while.
And can I say
that's
this?
That's what happened.
Mm-hmm.
Really? Can I make a quick statement? Do you feel that they almost have to come down extremely harsh on Penn State? Because if not, you know, what message are you sending to the rest of these universities that are involved in the same mess?
Yeah,
because
they
got to
make an example of them.
Is doing the same thing.
Yeah. See, what happened is, they investigating, and it's a lack of institutional control. So they just can't come in and say, hey, you're hammered. They have to get all the information, let everything play out itself. So I won't be surprised after this trial, whatever, they'll do their stuff and get the lack of institutional control. With that said, they get hammered because USC got hammered with lack of institutional control. And they lost 30 scholarships over a 5 or 6 year period, a 2 year postseason ban, all over someone getting a house. So now you got people raping kids. So imagine what can happen to them. And that name will be permanently damaged. That's school will never be the same.
Wow.
Yeah, you know, I mean, I think football is pretty much over for Penn State. I mean, it's not going to happen overnight, but their future is very bleak right now because, first of all, they're not going to get top recruits because of this. So
right. They
even damaged just from that. And then when the NCAA comes down on them, they probably won't be able to compete for a while. So, I mean, you look how hard they come down on people for, you know, cheating or getting free gifts from donors and stuff, you know. So they come down hard on these other universities for doing things like that. You know they're going to come hard on for this molestation and all this going on.
But don't you think that somebody's going to say, listen, with the economy already bad, why do you want to put people who didn't have anything to do with it out of work? You know, this program is bringing in $50 million a year, and if we completely do away with it, that's $50 million going out of the economy in this city or this little town.
That's why these children were hurt, though, because they have this $50 million machine that all these grown men and should have known better was trying to protect. They were trying to protect their cash crop, not these children. That's why they should be punished in that way.
Okay, I understand Joe Paterno took his house out of his name and put it in his wife's name for a dollar this week. What was that all about?
Trying
to move his assets because he knows he's going to be sued?
He's going to have a lot of civil cases going to come out against him, I'm sure.
Wow. Should Penn State be sued? Do y'all think that Penn State holds the biggest responsibility, or is Penn State just the biggest target?
They hold the biggest responsibility. Penn State holds the biggest responsibility for what is going on because they knew what was going on. And I'll tell you, the good old boys club, they just might come down hard on them because, trust me, these tax-free organizations, and we're talking about not only our educational, we're talking about our professional leagues are all tax-free organizations, National Football League, National Basketball League. We're talking about tax-free organizations. This is the good old boy club. They do not want a penny of their money being squashed because you've got a couple of reckless people that do their little thing on the side here, and trust me, it's the upper-level people. Not everybody's involved, but it's enough people involved that, you know, they're going to clear everything out. And I don't really think Penn State's going to lose the football program because they've got a lot of good people in their program. But they need to clean house. And that's the pen.
Can I make a statement there? I hold the university responsible because as a parent of a college student, to me, when I send my child to college, it is their responsibility to keep them safe. And if they knowingly allow this man to stay at this campus knowing that he had a past with children, come on, they are absolutely responsible.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yep.
And believe it or not, regardless of whether you think they're responsible or not, I guarantee you there will be civil lawsuits coming. Abundance.
Yeah.
Definitely.
But, you know, they said that attorneys are fighting, you know, they're stepping forward and saying, listen, you got a case, I'll take it. I mean, there's attorneys that are wanting to get in this thing because they know that they're going to be coming. I just say to a victim, I mean, I don't know how courageous you have to be, obviously very, to step forward and say this happened to you because, you know, if nobody knows and then all of a sudden you come forward, of course, everybody's going to eventually find out. But I just can't see not coming forward in a situation like this. I just can't see that I would be the one who would maybe at the end of the day, if Sandusky was somehow able to walk and I didn't step forward and say it happened to me too.
It's very difficult for victims to step forward, and especially boys, especially men. I mean, these guys are like 30 years old now, 20-something years old. You know, they've been trying to forget this, I'm sure, since it began. But, you know, I think that the more people come forward, more people have enough courage to do so. But it is very difficult for these victims to admit that this happened to them.
I guess I'm confused about a woman that would even want to be with a man who obviously is attracted to boys. I guess in the case of Dottie Sandusky, you know, I mean, her worth is nothing to him now. I mean, really. I mean, because it's like if he's not able to play with all these little boys anymore, even if he was to stay free, he doesn't want her. Obviously, he has a sickness. I don't even know if you call pedophilia a sickness. I don't know. I just think it's evilness. I don't know if I believe that it is.
Well, Carrie,
it is evil.
If she stays with him, well, I mean, she knew about it anyway. I mean, she had to know about it. It's no love there anyway.
Sometimes women are in love with a man who ain't in love with them. I mean, it could be vice. Well, it could be either way. But she could be a woman that's in love with him, and he's just not in love with her.
Women can be pedophiles, too, you know.
This
she might
true.
Be in on it.
This
you
is
never
true.
Know.
Mm-hmm. I mean, because, you know, on some level, if they've been together all these years, they raised foster kids together, you know, I mean, I'm just gonna give her the benefit of the doubt that God would not leave you in the dark that long. And so you heard a noise, you heard a scream, you saw something in the course of all those years. I'm just gonna go on a limb and say that made you wonder what exactly were you living with. I just believe that happened at some point. But why she never came forward is a million-dollar question, because I would find that sickening. To even be under the same roof with. So I don't understand, you know, where her head is. But I think she holds some responsibility, too, if those kids were molested in that house and she was actually there at the time.
Lawrence King's wife stayed with him.
Who?
Lawrence King, the one, the guy at the over in Nebraska, Omaha, Nebraska.
Oh,
over in 1988, that molested hundreds of children.
Well, maybe
why stay with him.
Maybe it's an evilness that people share together. I don't know. I mean, that's just the,
that's what
just,
I think. Because
yeah,
how are you going to be living in a house with so much evil and not have that evil in you too? And that don't, you know, I think that she's a part of it.
Yeah, mm-hmm. on a higher level than we maybe even understand. Someone with 11alive.com, they said they had some type of test that you can do based on people like voice analysis, just like a lie detector, but it's with voice analysis. And they said that their particular product is like with like a 95% accuracy. And they said, based on listening to Jerry Sandusky give that interview to Bob Costas the other night, that they're certain that he was lying. You know, so this guy had to know that people were going to be analyzing everything he said. I mean, either he's the stupidest guy in the world, or like someone else said, he was trying to put on the defense that they put forth on Michael Jackson. My client is not a molester, but he's creepy. And I'm not saying Michael Jackson is a molester. I'm just saying that's the defense that his attorneys used when he went to court on similar charges. So is that what they were trying to do, to say my client, you know, may come off as a little creepy and the things that he does is kind of strange, but he's not a molester?
Well, Carrie, like I said before, when he had that interview with Bob Costas, I mean, it was the attorney – They have a motive, and the motive is all about defense. It's defense. Now, I don't know how they're going to organize it. I don't know what is going to be their persuasive argument as far as his innocence, but it was done, and it was done so they can meet their goal. They have a goal.
And you don't think they were throwing him under the bus?
Oh,
I think they were throwing him under the bus.
I do.
Defense 101 is to keep your client out the press.
Yes.
He has nothing to gain from going on that morning talk show and doing that. I think that was just I don't get it. You know what I'm saying? So I think they're throwing him under the bus for sure.
And I don't know how I've never heard. Well, I did hear another interview that Sandusky did years ago. When you listen to him on the Bob Costas interview the other night, he sounded like he was on muscle relaxers or something. He was talking almost as though he either had been drinking or he was under the influence of something. Who puts their client out there like that? I mean, really, who does that? I mean,
I hope they're putting him under the bus. I mean, I really hope so. I hope he gets a quadruple life sentence in jail and I hope that with this trial and with him going to jail, that this sparks everyone in the United States. Everyone had, you know, we start actually dealing with this problem. because this is a big problem in our country.
Oh, and you know, it is growing. I mean, it is growing, y'all. Let's go back to the phone lines. Let's go pick up 281-796. Good evening. You're on center stage.
You just had to draw me in, didn't you?
Draw you in. Hey, Selma.
How are you, sweetie?
I'm good, and you?
Oh, not bad. Hi, everybody.
Hello.
I'm going to throw something in here that's a little off topic, but it isn't.
Okay.
I'm going to suggest that everybody see a movie, and it's out on the cable channels now. It's called The Rite, R-I-T-E. And it may seem a little off topic, but in this situation, I think that movie might point to the reason of why these things happen and might explain the wife also.
Okay.
It is pure evil. It's just pure evil, and it's run rampant in our country for quite some time.
Mm-hmm.
It all, I guess, depends on where your belief is at. But quite honestly, these are works of the devil without a doubt. And I would urge you to watch that movie only because it is a true story. And try to keep that in mind as you watch the movie. That's all I'm going to say tonight.
Well, you're not going to tell us what the movie's about?
If I tell you what the movie's about, then you might not watch it.
Oh, and just kind of like a hint about what the movie's about.
Well, the hint is, let's see, how do I explain? It's a true story, and it's about a young man who was going to enter the priesthood and then decided that he wasn't going to, and it's a personal story of why he wasn't going to. But on... as an attempt of trying him not to leave the priesthood, this priest that was an instructor at one of the colleges that he was going to sent him to Rome.
Mm-hmm.
And the reason being is, and I can't tell you the years because I can't remember now, but being that it's a true story, I think it was in the 80s,
mm-hmm.
he sent him over there because the Catholic Church was holding classes, and it was kept hush-hush on exorcism.
Mm-hmm.
And I know this sounds strange, but on exorcism, and they were trying to at least get into the diocese of every church an exorcism expert. And if you watch the movie, you'll understand why. And as you watch this movie, you'll understand why I say that it really is pure evil that happens when these things happen. Predators especially, it opened my eyes to quite a few things. And I'm not a Catholic. My husband was raised a Catholic, but it's just very interesting that, number one, we don't know that this even came about. And number two, I've seen two movie true stories like this in the last 3 years, that it's almost God's way of alerting us to the evil that's out there, and as a society, we need to do something about it.
So, Phil, to the football program at Penn State be done away with?
No, I don't think it's the football program that needs to be done away with, although I will say this about, and all of my brothers played football, basketball, everything. But what I would say about the sports arena is I think it is over-relished in this society. And if you look at history, it's almost like our sports nowadays are like the gladiators of the Roman times.
Exactly.
And it's almost like the focus on football games takes away from the focus of the family now. It's no longer a family event, and it's no longer clean fun. A lot of it is big money, and as we know, money corrupts, and greed just makes it worse. And so all of that is tied into this story if you look at the bigger picture. It's bad about what this man did, and I believe it's pure evil, and I feel extremely bad for any of the boys that were subjected to all of this. But the overlying big picture is, if you look at it, it's all corruption, it's all money, it's all greed. And they hid one of the most hideous crimes that there is, just trying to keep a football program together. And why? You know, that football program will be there no matter who's the head coach. That's as far as I'm concerned. I'm not saying that the head coach was the one that is wrong here necessarily, but somebody along the line should have gotten this guy out. Somebody should have had the moral courage to get him out. And obviously something is very wrong if there was no one who did. And that means no one. No one took the time to get this information out to the general public or to get this guy out of the school system. No one.
I agree.
That says a lot about our society.
It does. It absolutely does. Well, thank you, Ms. Thelma.
Sure thing.
We're going to go to area code 314-381. Good evening, you're on center stage.
How are you this evening?
Good. How are you?
You know, I was listening to the conversation.
Mm-hmm.
But as far as this coach is concerned, you know, in the lies he said in the interview, and I have a lot of respect for Costas, he seems to be a very genuine person.
Mm-hmm.
This coach is going to say that he thought that he may have, his private parts may have touched the child. You know, you have to ask him, what is his, for how long is his private parts, 10 foot long? And he should have his pension taken away.
I agree.
He should have all his wins, you know, revoked.
Can they do that, though, once they've given him a retirement? Can they take it away?
He haven't got it, have
he? You're talking about Paterno.
Both of them.
Oh, you're talking about Paterno. I thought you were talking about Sandusky, the actual pedophile.
The pedophile and also the head coach because, you know, everything is under his watch.
Ooh.
The buck's supposed to stop with him.
Wow. So and you think Paterno and Sandusky should lose their retirement?
Yes, I think they should. That should be part of the punishment. I mean, isn't that what the Congress done to Rangel? He was threatening to take his pension.
But they never took it, did they?
But it was a threat.
A threat. Okay, gotcha. Okay.
Yeah, and for what he done, this wasn't something evil. This was a crime.
Wow.
It wasn't evil. It was a crime. So that's where he should be found guilty. And the group of kids that went around and was overturning vehicles and so forth,
right.
They need to be punished for that also. They should be identified through videos. And at least a class 4 felon should go on them. Look what happened to the children, the black children down in Jenner 6.
Mm.
And look at what happened to, it was in Illinois where you had a football game and some African-American children got into a brawl with each other in the stands, and they were tracked down and given all sorts of punishments for that.
Mm.
So nothing least than that should happen. The school should be barred from that type of athletic for a number of years.
Now, that I agree on. Now, let me ask you something, Colin. When McQuarrie, which was the coach now, walked into the locker room and witnessed Sandusky aimlessly raping the little boy, what was his responsibility?
His responsibility was supposed to report it. And
is
I
that
don't
called?
Know.
Is that stopped? Is that, but is, it, was he supposed to at all stop the act itself and then call police? Or, I mean, does he just walk away and then call 911? What was he supposed to do? Or what would you have done?
Well, whether or not he physically got involved himself would have been, you know, an F. But he should have reported to the authorities and not the campus police. He should have reported to the local police.
I agree. In that part, I'll never understand how a grown man sees another grown man raping a child, because that's not sex, that's rape, and not do anything. I don't care if you say you did make eye contact with the child. It doesn't matter. The child is still a child, and he was not of the age of consent to consent to the act. So, therefore, it should always be perceived as a rape.
Well, there shouldn't be no consent going on in a public institution facility for taking showers and things like that. And another thing, you got plenty of examples that went on with the Catholic Church and the priests, all the incidents, not only in this country, but around the world, of them violating and busting little boys.
Mm.
So there's plenty of that going that, you know, you can study to understand. But this is something that's just rampant within this country.
So why do you think so many people hear this story? I mean that actually. I think everyone around Penn State in that football arena knew what was going on. Why do you think so many people kept the secret?
Standards.
Mm.
And also the athletic program is probably profit for many, many people. That's why come the program needs to be suspended for about a decade.
Wow.
I agree with that.
That's a long time. Somebody says in the chat room, I'm looking for that statement. Somebody said in the chat room that the state gave Penn State, where did I see that? Someone said that the state gave Penn State $200 million annually, the state of Pennsylvania?
$200 million annually. It's a state. It's a state institution. It probably is getting that kind of money.
Wow. Oh my God. Well, then they should not get it anymore. I mean, really.
Yeah, but the most important thing, and they need to punish this, both of these coaches, and the best way to punish them is by taking their pension. Let them get back out there in the real world and work for, you know, what they have connived off of the coffers for this, you know, this period of time.
Yeah, you know, and I have to say, you know, I agree with you, but, you know, what we, I mean, there really needs to be a investigation done, and a true investigation, not an investigation. It needs to be an investigation done, and everybody who had any type of knowledge whatsoever needs to be punished. I mean, from the president needs to lose his pension, the vice president of the university needs to lose their pension, the attorney needs to lose his it needs to be disbarred. Everyone needs to be punished for this. If one child is injured, that's one child injured for a lifetime. And
well, yeah, and plus two, you got some liabilities, some lawsuits that's going to come out of this that the public has got to pay for. So why should he have access to his entire pension, which the public has got to pay for? Come on, we got to use some common sense on this stuff. Actually,
oh, yeah.
The man needs to be executed. The man needs to be executed. That's what should happen.
Yes, sir.
And also the university needs to put more focus on educating their students, because the students just show how ignorant they are when they're out there rioting and saying, you know, we want Joe Pa and everything like that. And also it's like, you know, they have a history of being ignorant, because in 2007 it was a big scandal at Penn State when they were dressing up like Virginia Tech victims for Halloween.
I remember that too.
Yeah, the level of ignorance of supposedly college educated kids, they need to work on that.
They was dressing up in blackface, but here's another angle. Now, if it was black children involved in this, now we got a whole different ball of worms. Where is the bias? Why come here you got a black child that you just turned your head and didn't report anything?
Well, it was a black child that he was molesting in that office.
Well,
yes, it was.
Black people in that community need to be up in arms on that.
Where's the NAACP? Are you serious? I didn't know that.
Yeah,
it was
a minority child.
And the mother is on record as stating that the other victims that she's aware of look just like her son.
Oh, my God.
If this is the case, now you got a point. Then when the guy with the red hair came in and he seen this going on to a black child, well, did he not respond different with the black child than what he would have if it was a white child?
Oh, my God.
Mm-hmm.
Is the severity of the punishment that's going to come down to both of these coaches, is it going to be a slap on the wrist, or is it going to be very extensive, like Michael Vick, who done something to Dog, or O.J. Simpson, who basically stealing taking his own stuff back?
Yes.
But, you know, this almost kind of reminds me of Katrina. Remember how people were kind of like, you know, they really were kind of like they weren't connected to the story because for some reason they didn't feel the connection, because those were poor people. You know, I remember, I hate to say it, George Bush's mother, Barbara Bush, said when Katrina happened and everybody was saying, oh, those people are refugees and they were displaced and this, that, and the other. And she said, well, they're better off than they were, you know, before Katrina.
Actually, blacks should have kept that designation of refugees. It would have got more international attention. But here's the point. See, the media handled the black incident and the white incident in two different fashion.
Mm.
See, black people were stealing, whereas white folks were finding.
Wow. Wait a minute, black people were what?
So true.
when black people were seen, when black people were photographed coming out of the stores with groceries, they were stealing.
Yeah.
When whites were photographed coming out of the store with groceries, they were finding.
Wow. And it happens. I hate to throw the color in there, but that does happen. But I'm just trying to figure out how did he have access to all these kids? I mean, this guy's been on the radar for 15 years. Why was he still having this kind of connection to children? That's crazy. I mean,
because no one was coming forward. No one was brave enough to come forward and say this is what's going on. And I want to throw another angle in there. We've got the race angle in there. I want to throw the sex angle in there, meaning male or female. Let's just think about this. If any mom of any race were to walk into that room and see and witness what McCrary witnessed that evening, what do you think she would have done? Because I can tell you, my grandmother's 80-plus years old. Mind you, I would myself just go ballistic. But my grandmother's 80-plus years old, and I can guarantee you, as a mom, she would not have left that room without them knowing about it and that little boy not being out of harm's way.
You know what, McCrary, which is the one that witnessed the anal raping of the child, you know,
right.
He says that he made sure nothing happened anymore, and he, you know, even though he didn't physically intervene, he made sure it didn't happen anymore. Well, just so happened, somebody went back and did the timeline on that, and McCrary, just weeks after that happened, went to some fundraisers that Sandusky was throwing.
Right.
So that doesn't sound like I'm repulsed by what you did.
That doesn't sound
like I think you're a pedophile and I hate you, and I think people like
statement.
You should fail.
If he made that statement, he needs to have his pension taken from him too. And here's a point with him. He said that he heard a rhythmic pat, pat, pat. Well, hell, what do you think? A faucet was leaking? Come on now.
Because you know what? I think that the locker room was closed. And actually, by the time of night that happened, nobody was even supposed to be in there. And he said he heard it, and then he went and looked. And he heard the showers on, and that's when he saw it. So, you know, this guy is just, I mean.
And this child was 10 years old.
Yeah. McCrary's scum to me, too. I'm sorry, you know. He's just not right. I mean, I don't
all
care. I don't know. He's got a child. I saw him in an interview holding his child. You know, God forbid something happens to his child, but he has got some bad karma coming on him for leaving somebody's child, you know, in distress like that and doing nothing.
Oh, what the hell is a grown man doing taking a shower naked with a 10-year-old boy anyway?
Mm-hmm.
So look what they look how they raked Michael Jackson through the coals.
Mm. Wow.
I mean, we can't let this stuff, we can't forget about these things. I mean, how far back in history do you want to go?
Wow.
Yeah.
I mean, well, you know, the thing is, with this situation, though, these kids were underprivileged. And it's almost as though in every single instance people thought about the dynasty versus the kids, and the kids came up short every time.
These children are going to be hurt.
That is just what it says to me. Every single time that somebody, police department, the campus police, the DA, you know, whether that was Paterno, whether that was McCrary, whether that was the janitor, every time people had a decision to do the right thing, they chose the dynasty.
Well, that's because many people profited off that dynasty. I say bar from football for a decade. Let them have to get out there and sell barbecue pigs, pig feet, and pork chop sandwiches. Let them get out there on a toll road with boots and stuff and collect money if they want to have that. Then they'll know exactly. They will feel the blunt of it. Because those children, every little one of those little children, that has marked them for the rest of their life. You don't know what type of psychological damage that would cause them. Some adult that had to go through that experience may just all of a sudden go off one day and come to work and shoot up the whole workforce.
Well, the psychological, what it does to a child at the age, it changes their pattern of thinking. And so what happens is that when you have that many people, we have, like I said, we've got one out of four children in the United States are molested.
okay? And so what you can see is that's why we're having a change in society where kids are very disturbed about their sexuality, who they are, and who they should be with. And this is a big problem. That's why we have a social problem, which is the molestation, is now turning into a social norm, and now we have this large percentage of people that want to marry the same sex. Because it's not natural. It's something that's been generated through the society over the course of years.
Well, you know, I'm going to tell you something. That, I mean, up in Boston, and it's a guy who's the czar for Obama's administration. He's a czar over safe schools. He's part of this organization that go into these schools and be talking this homosexuality with children as young as what, third grade, talking to them about should you swallow and fisting.
Yeah.
Mm-hmm.
Oh, jeez.
Oh, now, who did that?
Well, let me tell you, that is hard. Yes, that's going on. And let me tell you, the sex education in this country now, starting in elementary school, in a lot of states, they have the books that they're actually introducing to children when they have to do group reading. We have Tom and his two fathers.
Yeah.
And see, this is a social problem that turned into a social norm. That's why at the beginning of your program, I said, is this child molestation, these rings, these child molestation cults, these large organizations that are underneath the public scrutiny. Is this going to be a public norm in the future?
Well, yeah, that's the way it goes, because that type of action, well, they don't produce life, for one thing, and it's profitable. Somebody stands to make a profit off of that type of lifestyle.
Well, let's look at this. All these foundations where they're dealing with children, should we have some stricter guidelines now on these foundations where I don't care who's bringing in money to them, whether it's nonprofit or whether it's for profit, it doesn't even matter. When any time it's dealing with children, should there be stricter regulations now on somebody overseeing each of these programs and making certain that everything is above board and these just aren't breeding grounds for pedophiles?
Well, the thing go ahead. I don't want to cut you off.
I coach Little League Baseball, and I go through background checks. The Highway Patrol, and I volunteer in the public school. Highway Patrol has to produce a background check on me, and I tell them before I even have anything to do around any children that you have to do this, and that needs to be done. Then you need to take it to another level. Parents themselves need to be following behind, asking questions, and knowing what it is and who their children are with. You just can't take your children up to the front entrance of an institution and drop them off and think that everything is going to go all right. In these days and time, that's suicide.
And that's exactly what's happening in a lot of these cases. I think the parents are just so glad to get, you know, 5 hours or 4 hours by themselves to do whatever it is that they want to do. But no parent should ever think that somebody wants to spend more time with your children than you. And I think sleepovers, a lot of these situations with Sandusky appear to be occurring during sleepovers. Who do you allow to keep your kids overnight? What's going on with it? Why does the coach need to keep your child overnight?
Right.
Some of it's just common sense. Whatever he can't do, he can't get it done during the day hours. I don't know why a grown man with a wife wants to entertain my child overnight. And one of these kids, I think it was victim number one, said a lot of these sleepovers, he was the only child there. Why would you think that he wanted your child to come spend the night with him and his wife? That just doesn't even make sense.
What about victim one stating that they took him out of school?
He was picking him up at the school. That's why the school, in my opinion, is supposed to be sued in this too. He was picking him up, I think, during his study hall and taking him away from the campus.
Yes.
Who does that? Yes. I mean, why would the campus allow him to do that? And then
I don't know, but as a mom, I'd be furious.
I'm sorry?
But I have no idea. But as a mom, I would be furious to know that a coach is taking my son or daughter out during midday when they should be at class, and just and not even telling me about it.
Well,
Washington Dusky, I mean, he really sounds like he's, I don't know, more evil and more sick than people would even think. This guy said, one of the coaches said he even seemed clingy and needy when one of the victims was trying to disassociate himself with him. I mean, who does that? Grown man volunteering. He volunteered to be a full-time volunteer at Penn State. He also volunteered to be a full-time volunteer at one of these victim schools so he could have more access to these kids. Was nobody paying attention? I mean, could that many people really have been dropping the ball? Or was this thing just something that everybody was aware of and they just allowed to happen?
I mean, I think that he was bringing in money. I mean,
there you go.
More and more I read about this case, the more and more I think that the rumor that he was having a prostitution ring is true. And it wouldn't be the first time that's happened. And he's bringing in millions of dollars because there's other sickos out there that have money, you know, basically. And they all kept their mouth shut. You know,
mm-hmm.
for the money. That's you know, that's what. If he was just some broke molester on the you know on the road somewhere, they would throw him in jail like all other molesters. But he had power and money in this situation.
Nathan, what did you say about how Forrest and Dusky live from a school?
He lives right next to a school, like 30 feet from an elementary school.
Wow.
He can sit on his back deck and watch kids play in the playground.
Right.
Well, he's going to have to move.
It's like yesterday. I mean, but why didn't the police see him as a problem living that close to the school? You know, Paterno knew he lived that close to the school. Everybody knew, but nobody said anything. So that means, you know, this guy just always positioned himself to be on the college campus, to be at the high school volunteering, I mean, to live across the street from the school. He just positioned himself to always be near kids. That is a classic pedophile, is it not? I have never really.
Yes, it is. That's a classic pedophile.
Wow. Well, I don't know what the answer is in this situation, but I think Penn State should pay out of the yin yang. Maybe they should keep the football program so they can continue to pay these victims for the rest of their lives.
Mm-hmm.
I don't know.
Well, I'm gonna tell you. If it was Grambling University, they would suspend the football program.
Absolutely.
I mean, don't be giving these folks. I'm from a different era, and I've seen so much of this stuff go on. But we cannot be letting these things like this shortstop us like this. You just can't do it.
Wow.
I think it'd be a major miscarriage of justice if the NCAA don't sanction them and ban them from football for some period of time, I think, personally.
Well, let me ask, what should happen with the victims? Should they get counseling? Should they get compensated? What is owed to the victim?
They should get everything.
Wow.
Everything that
free
they
college.
Need.
Free college.
Yeah. Oh, I love that. Free college. I love that.
They should get everything that they need. And see, here's another point. The money they got to pay out could have went to a program, scholarships, to let the disadvantaged children to have an opportunity to come to school. Now, that ain't going to... I mean, this affects every gamut up and down the ladder.
But see, when you get through the president of Penn State, what do y'all suppose was being said in the meetings when Sandusky goes to the president and goes to, I think, the VP of Business and Finance and the athletic director and say, we got a problem with Sandusky? What do you think? I mean, how did they come to the conclusion to do what they came up with? How do you have a meeting and decide that's the thing to do?
Can I answer that?
Sure.
The meeting was simple. He simply said $72 million. That's it.
Really?
And
so
then
where
another
did you get the $72 million figure? We heard $50 million. Where did you get $72?
Okay, let me just tell you this. It's actually $72 million from the football team. Overall, it's $116 million. And then if you throw in, they have a hospital that's also on grounds and some other factors and the fact that they have some other programs, but it totals
comes up to $647 million. PSU has an economic impact on the state of Pennsylvania of $17 billion. Not million, $17 billion. It calculates that way based upon how many other jobs and how that they're accumulating in that state that, you know, reaches out to other people. Now, if that's true, and I received that figure, I put it in chat room, but if you go back and you look at that figure, if it's true, even if just half of that is true, this is bigger than just Penn State, and it would be so many people, including at the state level, that would want to keep this hush-hush for as many years as they possibly could.
Wow. And here's where the race come in. If it was black children, now you got a double standard.
Mm. Well, but you know what? What would have happened if this was a rich white kid that got molested?
Can I ask, how do we know that these are black kids, though?
Well, I have not heard that, and I've been researching everything I get in my head on. How did, I mean, where did y'all come from the information that these were black kids? Because I didn't buy it.
I heard somebody else say it, but, I mean, we just have to see.
Yeah.
I
think it was a mixture. I think it was a mixture of kids, but we definitely have the mom on record of saying that the other children, the victims that she know of, look just like her son, and she gave a certain type in addition to that.
Is she? Because, see, the interviews that I've heard, they disguise the mother's voice.
Yes.
So I couldn't tell if she's white or black because it was distorted. But, you know, in either case, you know, a victim is a victim, you know, because children, I mean, you know, you're taking their innocence away, and you're confusing their minds forever. And without counseling, I cannot imagine these kids if they went on and never received any counseling. I mean, that's just sad. So, I mean, really, irregardless of the race, you know, these are still kids and there were victims. But you do wonder, it is going to add another layer, like the caller said, if they are African-American, and he was a Caucasian man, and did, you know, nobody did nothing, you know, that is going to put another spin on it. That's just what it is, and everybody knows that. But I guess, you know, in closing comments, y'all, we're down to our last four minutes. Anybody got any closing comments on this particular topic?
No, I don't have any.
I have a closing comment. Lady was talking about evilness, and it just reminds me of a scripture in Ephesians where it talks about, you know, we are fighting against wickedness in high places.
Oh, yeah.
And I think that's Ephesians 6:12, and I think that's what's going on here around the country and the world. It's just like, I mean, how more wicked can you get from taking a child's innocence, you know what I'm saying? And it's happening all over, and we all have to be vigilant with our own families and our children that are around us to protect our families from this, because it's out there.
How do we protect our children? Now that we know that things like this exist and we see now what type of places they exist in, how do you protect your child from these type of situations in the future?
Be involved
in
their lives. Yeah.
But, well, I think a real simple solution is people need to stop living off the television, allowing television to create their reality for them every day, and because the television will put people out there, and people gain a relationship, they think that relationship that they have with that particular character is something they need to have in real life. People start to mimic that type of relationship. Those type of behaviors. People need to understand that TV is a brainwashing instrument. It does not help with social development. It does not help with the moral values of society. People need to get back to the fundamentals of reading. They need to get back to cursive writing and doing more family-oriented activities.
I agree.
And you got to talk to your children, because there was another incident where this one teacher was having the kindergarten massage her feet. And she came home and said, "Mom, I'm tired of rubbing on her feet." That's true. Now, I'm not kidding. That is absolutely true.
But you know what? We got to hit on it very quick. Didn't they catch Bernie Fine in Syracuse this week, or accused of alleging Bernie Fine?
Yeah, he's molesting the ball boy.
Yeah, he messed with the ball boy. You know, so this thing may be more widespread than we even realize. And so, you know, I think they suspended Bernie Fine.
That whole institution might be infested.
It really may be. It may be just people
but
speak
this
out.
This whole Penn State might be an infestation going there too. So.
Okay,
well,
well, we down
really
to our last 50
myself
seconds.
With y'all. I'm going to hang up and listen. Thank you.
Thank you, caller. Thank you to my guests. Thank you, Nathan Taylor and Roy Jones, for being with me tonight. Wow, this has been a very interesting dialogue, and hopefully we said something that sparks some parent out there's interest to pay more attention to situations where your children may be spending too much time with someone who may be a pedophile. Thank you to the audience for your participation tonight. I really enjoyed you tonight. A reminder, the views and opinions of our guests do not necessarily reflect that of Center Stage or to the host. Listen, if you all like to see Center Stage do a particular topic, you all need to send me an email. Send it to centerstageradio@yahoo.com. Listen, the clock on the wall says I got to get here. But to everyone, happy Thanksgiving. I don't think I'll talk to you before Thanksgiving, so happy Thanksgiving to everyone. I'll see you guys next time. Bye-bye.